Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis. First of all, I'm not a rock. That's the first thing.
Amen.
I'm not a rock. How many are aware that you are not a rock?
Amen.
Second of all, I'm not a plant.
Right.
Are you all aware you're not plants?
Yeah. Yeah.
Third of all, you're not an animal. No matter what Dewey says or anyone else. You're not an animal. And of course, that was Darwin's made it up to defy God, to rebel against God, to make sure we didn't think the Bible was correct. We're just animals. But since you're not a rock, you're not a plant, you're not an animal, therefore, the last thing to say is you're not God. You're not God. So you're not a rock, you're not a plant, you're not an animal, and you are not God. Therefore, you are man. And in the order of creation, though created last, you were created above the animals, the plants, the rocks, the clouds, the trees, everything created. And because you were created in that position, you were created, made differently than all the rest of creation. You are la creme de la creme. You are the apple of his eye. You are the iris of his eye. So he's always had his eye on you, every single one of us as individuals, as well as all mankind together. So what I've just stated is no longer held by Western society and indeed much of the world, especially the intelligentsia, the learned ones. And so if you go to SMU or TCU or any of the U's, you will discover that you are just a speck. You are something low and insignificant, the opposite of what God hath said. So God is out of business. God is out of business. And you owe him nothing. You owe him no worship. You are not his creature. And so therefore we've just eliminated God, and by doing so you've eliminated man. And by doing so you are a plant or a rock or an animal or something lower in the order of creation. Now, how many know that God probably does not agree with that assessment, since he created things and he has this capacity to persist through all of the attacks on his name and his nature and his glory and his majesty? And so, I, who am quite learned, I disagree. I totally disagree. As a matter of fact, though many are intelligent and learned, they actually are fools. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And of course, here in Texas, we disagree that man is an animal. Therefore, we have dominion over all the animals. I'm going to read in a minute what God in his word has actually said. And we still down here believe in the fact that animals are animals, plants are plants, horseshoes are horseshoes. I mean, that's obvious to us in Texas, that we have dominion. And therefore, we don't bow before the EPA. We don't bow before Washington, D.C. We don't bow before any man, as we're still under the Creator here. In 1929, when people jumped out of windows in New York City, Texans just simply took the bullhorns off the Cadillac and went back to church. So Texans have always been of a different breed or kind, in that we're not following man, we still believe in God. That's part of our rough pioneering spirit, because we had to fight for this soil, this dirt, that we live upon. And we had to shed blood on it. The Americans did too, but most of the other Americans have submitted without a fight. But down here we don't agree with that. And that's because there is a God, and God bless Texas. Now, I'm just making a joke because I don't think Texans are the only ones that are Christian. And I don't believe that God is actually out of business. And I don't believe the rest of the United States is actually willingly, gladly submitting to all these things. But because they are dumbed down by the educators and the media and the politicians in order to control us better. But I'm not a slave. As a matter of fact, I am a slave. But I'm a slave of God, who happens to be a loving father and not an angry judge. And so what we teach is the Bible. We teach that the Bible is the only truth, the only light, the only guide for all that we do, whether it be in our social relations, whether it be in our families, whether it be in our churches, whether it be in our economic systems, whether it be in our justice systems, or whether it be in politics. We believe God rules. And this is why I think we're the only state that says in our pledge, one state under God. And we changed it a few years ago, but we didn't change it to change it. We changed it because that's what we always thought. So we just decided to make that explicit. We are not a state like other states who are supinely obedient or obeisant to our rulers. As a matter of fact, we hate tyrants. And we hate those that believe that the state has a sacred role. Mm-hmm. We don't believe it does.
No.
We believe that God has put the rulers of this world under. Not only that, we believe that the people, the aggregate people, the whole body of the people, are over the Constitution that they made, and they acknowledge God as supreme, and therefore the Almighty is not only Lord of the universe, but He's the Lord over politics and everything. And so we believe, and it's written, as I've told you, on the Supreme Court building in Austin, carved into the cement or whatever it is, carved in there, that all power resides in, is inherent in the people. All power. So that means all political power resides in the people, or it's inherent, innate, part of their created being. You can't erase it. It's ineradicable. It's indefeasible. It's indestructible. Therefore, all power is inherent in the people. And all just governments, they don't have any justice. They wouldn't be legitimate. All governments then are subject to their will, to their power, to their capacity. And so that's where government comes from. People make it. But a people under God, who has inherently endowed us with that capacity as a whole body, not as individuals, but as a whole body. Individually, you are subject to the government that we the people, created and made. And all authority then in that government of the people, for the people, by the people, is instituted for their benefit. Now, I elaborated, but that's basically what is written, carved in stone, so that it's indelible, hard to destroy, is in our Supreme Court. And that's what the issue is all about today in all the races that are going about and on, is whether God is God. Whether He, in fact, is your personal God, and whether you have a right to worship Him according to the dictates of your own conscience. In other words, no one's telling you what to do because you have a right in that area. You are free under God, under nature, and nature's God. And since you're free, you can be a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or a stick worshiper or snake worshiper. You can be whatever you want. You can be an atheist if you want. But you do it according to your own conscience so that you're guilty. Or that you're innocent. That's your decision. You get to decide that. No one can take that from you. No government gave it, and no government can take it. Now, I'm going to prove what I just said, since it's the basis of our liberty, and it's the basis of our particular, peculiar form of justice, which isn't true in Japan. It isn't true in China. It isn't true in Russia. It isn't true anywhere else on the earth, regardless of the superficial similarities to some of the language. Certainly not the United Nations. And so, therefore, we are unique here in our system of justice that allows God to be God and define all terms. We don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We, in fact, let God decide what's good and evil. Because I'm not a rock, and I'm not a plant, and I'm not an animal, and I'm not God. Therefore, I'm submitted to God, whom I worship. Whether out of fear or out of love, I worship him. In fact, both are true for me. I do worship him out of fear, meaning I tremble at his word. If he says it, that's it. If he says, for example, I created all men equally, no, I believe that. I don't believe some are created to be rulers and others slaves. I don't believe that. And the founders of America and the founders of Texas didn't believe it either. So we believe that since all men are created equal, even if they misbehave, even if they throw away or violate or breach the covenant or the natural law written upon their heart, even so, they still have a natural dignity, value, and worth that's equal to mine, to yours. So all men deserve then to be treated, even the most criminal and the most violent among us, need never to be destroyed in their dignity, value, and worth which God gave to them. Are you following me so far? And the reason why I took so much schooling was to learn that none of that is true. That's what you learn. What you learn is it ain't how it appeareth to be in your first grade civics class. You know, they don't even teach civics anymore. But I learned it. I learned it. So I was a good learner. I listened to it. And I believed it. And now I was told the more I went higher and higher in education. In fact, as high as you could go. Just keep going. Get more and more degrees. I learned that all those things I just said weren't true. But it never fazed me. Not even for an instant. And I wasn't, not only was I not a moral person, not only was I not a religious person, I didn't believe in God at all. Didn't care about God, didn't think about God. And yet, he loved me. And I was just sinful. And I didn't call it sin, I just called it me, you know, selfish. Do what I want, when I want, how I want. And all of you are the same, by the way. Right. And everybody is. And I don't blame the rulers for ruling that way. Because my family was mafia, that means they were lawless. You know, that's the way you grow up. And so I grew up attempting to survive in this kind of world. I mean, I never have wanted, and I don't want to this day, the world to be different than it is. I don't want people to be nice. I want them to be what they are, nasty. I want them to behave nice so that they don't take my hubcaps. But the truth is, I look out for myself. Did you know that? That's the American way. Mm-hmm. That is the way that this government was set up.
Yeah.
And our instruments, our written documents, still say what I just said. I told you, it's carved in stone. And those things don't change. In God's heart and in God's mind, therefore, they don't change for me. And now that I became a believer by God's grace, I got to Texas as fast as I could. I didn't learn it in Illinois, the land of Lincoln. I didn't learn it in Obama's backyard. I learned it here. I didn't learn it at Yale. I didn't learn it wherever I went to school and graduate and postgraduate. I didn't learn it there. I learned it by God Himself. That's the only way to learn it, by the way. And once you teach children a lie, then it's hard for them to get out of it. So if you grew up in India, or you grew up in China, or you grew up in Russia, or you grew up somewhere else, it'd be very hard for you to get the truth. But in America, we decided to leave God be God. One state under God. Again, I'm not talking about Texas. I'm just simply saying God's still not out of business yet because there's still Texas to contend with. And Utah can't. California won't. New York is incapable, and so on. And they're quite content with their illusions and their utopias. And they don't believe in them any more than I do. They know it's false. But they'll do anything to avoid God. They'll do anything to avoid the guilt that weighs heavily upon every human being that has violated the laws of God, natural, revealed, or civil. So the fact that God says I'm not a rock, well, it means something to me. I am stubborn. Well, I call it faithful. And you know, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. And sometimes I may act like an animal, a beast. As a matter of fact, that's what God saith in the scripture, that if you do not submit to His rule, His government, His dominion, if you do not submit to that, you are as a beast. In other words, He created you to be His servant, that is, His son. Now, a servant in the house is different than a son. So he created you, and all men are under this, to at least serve Him. But He created you to be a servant that would be faithful in all His house so that you could then be adopted as a son by the true and living God. So Abraham had a servant in his house, Eliezer. And that servant was going to inherit everything. It's like, God, come on. How come I got a servant? He's going to get all my stuff. You're going to bless me, but my servant's going to get it all. Come on, God, he said to God, being the God of justice. God, not fair. It's not right. Where's my son? Where's my son? And then God told him, good question. You're right, I am the God of justice and of mercy. And therefore, in the spring, you'll get a son. And it said, Abraham believed him. Oh, at first he laughed. You know, have you noticed how old I am right now? I mean, with old age, there are certain symptoms that show up. I have noticed that. So even though my mind is young and my heart is young, I've noticed that the body no longer is cooperating. The tent is becoming frayed. Now, unlike Peggy, who's afraid of that, I'm not afraid of that. What is, is. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. And it's in the Bible. But also, it says something about gray hairs. Amen. God likes gray hairs. And he hopes that they have wisdom. He hopes that they have wisdom. So since I'm not a rock or a plant or an animal, and I'm not God, but I am under God as his trustee. Now, I'm going to prove all this right now. Let's read the second chapter of Genesis. Second chapter of Genesis. All the way back. All right. And I'm just going to read the verse that counts. 126. I'm sorry, I said second chapter. I meant first. First chapter, 126. 126. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And stop. I don't want to read the rest right now. All right. And God said, that word is amar. And God said, ba'amar. And God said, or actually the literal thing is that it's vi'amar, Elohim. And God said, Elohim, by the way, did you notice this? Everything is plural. Have you noticed this? And God said, and now that God, the im on the end of the Hebrew word, Elohim, the im, that shows us plural. Now that's a bother for the Jews who claim this part of the Tanakh, this Old Testament portion. They claim that it doesn't say it. Well, of course, they don't say it doesn't say it. But they have trouble with that word im. Why is it in the plural? Because then it would be God's. But they're certain that can't be true because it says God is one. Can you solve that problem? Yeah. How can God be one and also plural?
Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we know the right answer, but what I'm saying is it's a conundrum. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to them. Which is it, they say? They can't both be true, but they are both true. That he's one because he is in agreement. The Father agrees with the Son agrees with the Father, the Holy Spirit agrees with the Son and the Father, and so on. Unlike Aphrodite, Zeus, who are always warring and competing and are never one. So in the rest of the world, the gods always conflict with one another. And so when God created us after his likeness, he created us also to be one with him. Not one in the sense that we are God, but one in the sense that we are like God, similar to God, in that we have dominion also, not over him, and not over other men. You'll notice that the first thing we have dominion over is fish. That's amazing. The word for dominion is rada. Say it, rada. Okay, so, vi'amar Elohim, and God said. And then it says that he is going to create us. But the word for creation there is actually not creation as we understand that word, but it's actually formed us, fashioned us, okay? And so that word is a different word. Let us make or create Adam. And so that making is asa. Now there's another word, and I'll give it to you in a second because it's in the same verse. It's actually not in the same verse, but it's in the same chapter, is that God not only fashions us, but he creates us. For example, he creates helium, the basic elements, and that is created out of nothing. But with man, he forms us out of the dust. So we're created, but it's a different sense of creation because it means forming out of other original things that he created. So there's only helium and oxygen, so on and so forth, carbon and so on. And those basic elements, and we're over 100 now of them, but whatever the number is, those basic building blocks he made first, spoke them into being, And then he formed us, not as an animal, not as a plant, not as a rock, but as a totally different, wholly different, completely. And you and I are not only not animals, we're not even natural, though you have a natural body. You are now spiritual. So that's a new creation. Kaine katesis in the Greek. So in the Greek language, to say it's kaine is not neos. Neos would mean new, like I lost my ball, I'm going to buy you another one. This one is a new kind of ball that nobody ever saw before, was never created before. So new of a different quality, new of a different kind altogether from what you've known before. That's us. You're not part of this world anymore. My kingdom is not of this world. Doesn't belong to this world. If you were part of this world, you'd perish. So if you break the natural law, you die. Anyone who breaks God's natural law is subject to God's dominion and therefore death. You and I are not. You've been created, born again. The word for again isn't again. The word in English says born again, but it doesn't say that in the Greek. It says born from above. You are born from heaven. You are God's son. He created you originally to be his son and agree with his dominion and submit to him as a trustee and a servant and a lover and a son. That was your original purpose for being created. But then you sinned, you breached, you broke that trust. And when you do that, you're subject to death. Because God has the right, under the law, the natural law that he wrote upon your heart, he has the right to destroy you. But he also has the right to forgive anyone that he could destroy but didn't want to. And so he sent Jesus to say, I don't want to kill anybody. Even though everybody did what I told them not to do. Even though everybody breached. How many know we're all guilty? You can't come to God as a proud, innocent person, as Adam and Eve were in the beginning. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all the fullness thereof, including man, of course. And so, though you lost your sonship, you still had your existence, but you chose the wrong essence. That was your own fault then. You chose to have an essence in opposition to God, in rebellion against God. And therefore, everybody did it. And every little kid to this day is born that way. And that's why King David said, I was conceived in sin. That's not even birth, that's conception. In sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, even before I'm born, I'm already sinning. And they come out crying. They don't come out happy. They come out crying. Did she come out that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way they come out. What? I hate this place. I want to go back into the belly. I mean, we're still looking for that going back into the belly thing.
Amen.
Meaning we want to have security in this world. We want comfort. We don't want this cold, nasty, hard world out here. I hate this place, you know. So they cry, give me food. You know, they're constantly wanting selfishly everything to be done for them, and passively they don't do anything to deserve it or earn it. No reward at all. They don't even smile. I don't know if you've noticed that. So that is man at his worst state. But man at his best states altogether, no different. Vanity, utter vanity. So everything that man doeth is now worthy of death. Because it wasn't done in faith. Ah, where'd that come from? Idea. Where'd God come up with that? Because he made you in such a way that you could obey him. Adam and Eve did for a small period of time. But we don't know exactly how long that lasted, but however long it lasted, it didn't last. And so there was a falling away from God's will, purpose, design, desire for his trustees, his servants, his sons. And so we lost our sonship. But Jesus brought it back. Jesus brought it back. In the Old Testament, 3/4 of the Bible, talks about what it's like to live under a law and how it's not easy to do. In fact, it is impossible. And so the churches today, multitudes of them, are lukewarm because they're still under the law. Now, I just said it so simply, too simply. The only thing that makes you lukewarm is you're still under a law. You're under pressure. You have to behave. You have to say your beads. You have to do something. You have to be something. You have to amount to something. But the gospel is, no, you don't. You can't. You not only don't want to, which you don't, but you couldn't anyway. Even if you said, I do, you would be lying. Because everybody wants their own way. Everybody. Everybody. And the sooner you see that, the sooner you're able to say, though I'm not a rock or a plant or an animal, I'm also not God, and I'm not even a son of God, which he created me to be. I broke his trust. I'm guilty. I'm not innocent. So mankind lost their innocence in the beginning, as we're reading here in the 3rd chapter, if we were to go on. They lost it. But God still created them. Gave them the destiny anyway, because he had something in mind that we didn't know about, because he doesn't reveal everything right away. Just like little kids don't understand. And what they do understand is mama. They understand that. Milk. You know, they understand certain basic things. And they learn how to communicate quickly because they're wanting stuff. Take care of me. Dopamine. You know, I want you to satisfy me. How many know that people are lustful? They're envious. They're all the things God said not to be. But God says it not to condemn you, but to make you aware that there's no good thing in you at all. Now, is there anyone here who would dare say, that's true? There's no good thing in me.
Definitely.
Good. That's good. Because the quicker you know that, the better. Because only those who know they're wicked have ears and eyes. And so God many times is speaking to people who have no ears or eyes. He's saying, you know, blessed are you if you have ears to hear and eyes to see. Because what I'm about to tell you is my gospel, my good news. And I want you to hear it, and then I want you to see it on earth as it is in heaven. So God has desired to restore us. Now, I don't know how to say this in the right way. I speak to you truth, knowing that you may not understand everything I say. But I'm going to speak to you the truth anyway, because it's what God wants me to speak. I'm not popular. I'm not going to speak what people want to hear. But I'm going to speak what God told me to say, and I'm going to say it. Why? It's exciting to me. And I am so unimpressed with how people react, I don't care. I don't care if people don't like it or like it. And I do not want to just, you know, say it so their emotions will like it, or their mind will understand it, or their will agree with it. I don't ever preach that way. I only preach to your spirit, never to your mind or your will or your emotions. That makes me hated. Good. Praise the Lord. That meant you heard. I like that. You heard enough to hate me. But I'm not going to say what you want. I will say what you need. You know that's a good parent. A good parent doesn't indulge the child. They discipline. Love then tells the truth. Or speaking the truth in love. So it's in love, actually, that I love you enough to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. So most preaching, I would say 99%, but I'm just making that up. But it's a big amount of pastors and evangelists and so on who will say what you want to hear in order to get more money or in order to get, you know, praise or whatever else. But I don't care about that. I don't want that. I just want to do what God did for me. I was a completely lost and helpless person, so I have no sympathy for anyone else who's in the same exact boat, because you're just exactly like me, whether you want to be or not. In other words, I just did it more openly. I did it without fig leaves. I just was naked without fig leaves. I never put fig leaves on. So I always did what I wanted, and I always didn't care about anybody else. I never was thankful or grateful or anything. I just grabbed what I could get, and what I didn't get, too bad. Never felt sorry for myself. Never. If something went wrong, I didn't blame other people. I just said, well, next time I'll just steal it, or I'll just take it, or I'll just take it when you're not looking, or I'll get it anyway. I'll just wait. I'm patient. So I was always happy. I was not a miserable sinner. I was a happy sinner. Now, I don't think most people are like that, because you didn't grow up without fathers and so on and so forth, but I did. And they were coming and going. The first one was one night, so that was the end of him. And that was just my conception. And then I got another one just before I was born. So he did not father me, but he claimed he did, but he lied. I love having lying fathers, deceptive fathers. It is so great. And the third one I call Adolf Hitler, as you know, because he came with all these rules and duties and whipped you if you didn't and took you down in the basement and so on. But I'm grateful for all that. I like all that. It didn't bother me. I hated him. I mean, I hated him. I didn't know the first one, or I hated him too. And I didn't know the second one. I did meet the second one, because he didn't leave. He left at 4, but I last saw him on my 7th birthday. So I knew him, and I cried. He gave me a little card, and I kept that card. I don't have it anymore, but I kept that card, because that's all I had of him. And I never saw him after that, ever. Oh, I did. Actually, thanks to Peggy, we looked up my first father, biological father, one-night stander, and the second father also. One was in Florida, one was in California, so that was good to take some trips like that. And thanked them both. The one for birthing me, that is, giving me an opportunity to be born, though my grandmother wanted me dead. So, 4 abortion attempts on my mom's part. My mom was so inept, she could not abort me. Awful. No. She knew that it'll ruin her life, because she was too young. She was a young girl and messed around too much, and that's how I got here. But I thanked him, and I sincerely thanked him. I told my, and he wept, my biological father. He always wanted a son, and he got one. But I had a whole bunch of other sisters by him that I didn't know about. And I won't tell you about them, because they're all weird. But, truly. But, anyway, and you know, they're all alive, I guess, still. Nevertheless, the second father also, I went out and he insisted he was my real dad, do DNA and all that kind of stuff, which I could have done, but I didn't want to. My mom assured me he was not, he did not meet her at the right moment, and that she met him at Christmas time and so on and so forth, and they got married after I was already conceived. And so I got into this world in a strange way, just at the time that Japan had declared war on America, and just at the time that Germany was overrunning France and bombing England. So that's a great time to come into the world. How many know that that is a great world to be born into? You have no illusions about how bad things are. I only knew one thing when I was a little kid. Do not say anything against Germans and Russians. I remember they're telling me that. Don't speak against them. You know, keep your mouth shut. I don't know. I mean, what a German is or a Russian. But I'm not supposed to say anything about them somehow. And so the one was an enemy and the other was supposed to be an ally. And so you just don't say anything. It's okay. Fear is great for us. Why? Because it kind of chastens you so that you don't really look for happiness in this world. But I did anyway. But you can't look for any lasting happiness. But hey, I went for as much unlasting happiness as I could get. If I could just stay alive after multitude of abortion attempts and then other things. We grew up in the dirt. We were not rich. We weren't even middle class. And we were the poorest of the poor. And we didn't have food. We didn't have a lot of stuff. We just ate off the ground. And that means you ate grasses and dandelion leaves and stuff like that. Because it was the war and there was rationing on a lot of basic commodities and so on. Couldn't get them. And then my mother was always working and my grandmother didn't like me and so on, which I didn't even know about or care about or think about. But they wanted me dead. They did not want me to live. Aren't you glad that I'm alive?
Yes.
Yeah, what a blessing. What a blessing. It's like a joke to me. It's like, yeah, I can't believe it. I should be dead. I should have been dead because of all the stupid and foolish things I've done in my life. I have lived a few years and evil. Amen? But when I became born again, I fell in love with Jesus. So it's amazing how he can take rubbish and then cleanse it up and clean it up and make it work nice. So I'm totally happy. You can't find anybody on earth happier than I am. Nobody. Equal to maybe. But happy, definitely. And so most people are not that happy in this world because they're always working to get love from somebody. I never wanted love from anybody. Just don't get in my way. It's just like, I don't want you to love me and help me. I'll just grab what I want and con people and so on. And I did. I went all the way through school cheating, lying, conceiving, all kinds of evil thoughts and so on. But I made it all the way to Yale. That's pretty cool. And then I stayed there for another degree, and then I was invited to do a PhD with one of the professors. And I could have gotten, instead of just three earned degrees, but I had enough majors for six or seven, I decided to quit. Because I thought, what more am I going to learn? I've already got all the tools to study myself. And I'd stolen a lot of books out of the library and stuff, so I had books also. Now I buy them. Oh my gosh. So I had no guilt over my sin. I didn't count it as sin. I was just glad to be alive. And just to make it through and have a modicum of decency and so on and so forth. No, it was just the most bare minimal. I don't require anything. Peggy can tell you, I don't require food or anything. I don't require anything. I don't require when I go on mission trips for there to be a nice bed and so on and so forth. I don't really care what it's like. Whatever it's like, that's the way it is. And so I'm easy to please because I'm totally already pleased with everybody just the way they are. Yeah. I can deal with the mafia. I can deal with harlots. I don't care. I don't care. They're all the same to me. And so I don't see anything better in me. I don't even think I'm smarter. I know that smart people aren't necessarily all that smart, even though they have a lot of learning. What good is that if you don't employ it the way God says to employ it? So smarts don't do it. But I'm not at all afraid of having all those smarts. I'm glad I did. But what I learned is what is wrong. I didn't learn the right way to do anything. I just learned, the imperfect way. And the whole modern world, you don't even know what I'm about to say, but the whole modern world is dialecticized. So that means there's a thesis and an antithesis and then a synthesis, but there is no synthesis. That's just made up. There's only God's way and then man's rebellion, and then man pretends in his rebellion that there's a third way, which there isn't. And so that deception is what controls the world today and why the church is lukewarm. So the church is not standing squarely under God's dominion and authority. So therefore, it won't be ready when he comes back to pick up his bride. But I am, and I don't really care that anyone else is. I don't even judge other people that aren't. I don't care. I don't care what you all do. I'm just going to answer myself to God alone. And if anybody else is there, great. Praise the Lord. I mean, know that there's always 7,000 others that have not yet bent the knee. So I'm not interested in being on Pat Robertson's show or, you know, somebody's radio program or whatever else. I could do it. I don't want to. I have done it. I've done all of those things. But that's such a popular way of going, just to get big crowds of people that you really can't minister to anyway. And because I don't believe just telling people words is sufficient. I believe you have to also break people of their pride and of their supposed innocence. And so that is not a job you want to do over the radio. Hello, all you sinners out there, you know, you wicked people. Yeah, for some reason that doesn't sell. I don't know why. It doesn't sell. But you always get a few anyway. And I did. I always got a few that really loved that message. And so you get to be the blessed ones who get all of that. Now, this is what it says. And God said, Vi Amar, let us... Now, let us... You wouldn't find it in the Bible. You can't find that in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But if you looked for the word let, or you looked for the word us, you wouldn't find it. Because the word, the verb, is the governing portion of this sentence, and it includes the let us in it. Okay? So you won't find, if you had a concordance, let's look up the word let us. You won't find that. But anyway, so when it says, let us make man... let us make man, that's Asa Adam, Adam. But Adam isn't just a name, Adam is man, mankind. So it's not just an individual whose name is Adam, Adam, which is also the word for blood, which is also the word for red. So one could speculate, and it would be a speculation, that God formed them out of the dirt. Maybe it was red earth. There's some of that in Texas. It might have been we were made right here. No. Some speculate who speculate that it's in Cappadocia or something. But the point is, who cares where it was, because it's hidden now. You cannot get back into the Garden of Eden and find out. But the earth was red. And when Egypt was first founded, still to this day, no doubt, they called it Black Land, which is along the Nile, and then they called the desert Red Land. So the red earth is where we came from. And I don't doubt that there's a connection there between what the Bible's telling us and the fact that we were created out of that kind of red earth. So he's called Adam, red, blood. It's the same. So a bloody earth, that's what we've had for 6,000 years. Let us make man, Asa Adam. And then it says, in our image. Now in the Hebrew is ba, b, b-e, ba. And that's how the Bible starts out. Bereshit, the ba, the in the beginning. Rosh means head, beginning. And eat on the end means the very beginning, and there is no other. So away with all those teachings and philosophies and doctrines which say there was a civilization or an earth or a universe before us. No, there wasn't. We were created in the beginning with the whole earth. So there's not like millions and billions of years and then, you know, another earth that was destroyed and now we're in a second kind of earth. No, it wasn't. But many people have big theologies on that. I don't really care if they're right or wrong, but they're wrong. So I just thought I'd say that. This is the eat on the end of the word Bereshit tells us that this is the beginning. and there is no other. So, because that's man's question. I didn't want to know about some mystical, mythical Atlantis or something else that, you know, I can't dig into or find out about. Right. So God answered the question in the very beginning. God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Now that word is not the same as the word for man. That one is bara. So he created man out of the elements. I told you there were elements and he spoke all those into being. And then let there be light and so on and so forth. And that's how everything came into being, just as God said. After our image. Now, image is tselem. Say it. T-S. Tselem. You have to press your tongue against your teeth. Tselem. Tselem. So T-S is a letter. And that letter in the Hebrew language is pronounced ts. So tselem, that's the image of God. So we're created in the image of God. In other words, what God is like, we're similar to. Now that could mean you're exactly like him as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're exactly God because all three of them are God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all God. And they're equally God. Isn't like Jesus is second God and Holy Spirit's third God in a totem pole. No, there's no totem pole. They're all one. As a matter of fact, they share the same spirit. And we now share also the same spirit, even though we're not God, but we're invited into and partake of the divine nature. That's in the Bible, too. And so you are citizens or partakers in the new creation of the divine nature. You're a son of God. You got returned to what you were originally created to be. But he didn't adopt Adam and Eve, and you don't become then a full son until you've proven yourself to be righteous. And if you're unrighteous, then you are not his son, and you perish. Because the wicked have no inheritance if they disobey his dominion. That's why I said God is, you're not God, he's over us. And he has full dominion. And the word for dominion is radah, R-A-D-A-H, or in this case, radu. In this verse, it'll tell you, let man have dominion, that's radu, because it's them. The du, the u on the end is plural. Let them have dominion. Now, to have or exercise dominion or lordship means that you are to be under his dominion, and if you obey him, if you line up with him, if you're conformed to him, well, then you're his son. He'll adopt you. But if not, he won't. That's why when we're reborn, born from above, born again through Jesus Christ, you now have that image restored so that you can become a son again. Because now you have the ability to do what everything God said to do under your trust. Whereas nobody else doeth the will of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody in this world, I don't care how nice they appear to you. I used to appear nice. It was a pure deception. Peggy married me thinking I was nice. Now she knew I wasn't. But she didn't want to think that. So she said, well, I'm sure he has some good qualities. And so on. But the truth is, I deceived her. And she was like horrified and shocked when she found out I was a perpetual liar. Well, I mean, you lied? Yeah, I always lied. Oh, my God. I thought, really? And that was horrifying to her. And I said, well, so are you. You're a liar, too. Anyway. So... That was awful to know that. Did you know that it says, let God be true and every man a liar? Wow. That means every man is a liar. Are you aware of that? In other words, we've all lied. We've said we're innocent when we're guilty. Now, if you want to tell the truth, you just go, I'm guilty. I'm a rebel. I hate God. And I hate man. And I hate myself, too. That's the truth. How many know that's the truth? It shows you're not in line with God's purpose. So everybody's like that. Even though you're born again now, and now you don't hate God, and you don't hate your fellow man, and you don't hate yourself.
Right.
Now you love your neighbor as yourself, but that's the first time you had the capacity to do that. Because by nature, you were not perfect under the law of nature written on your heart, or under the Mosaic law, or under any law. Nothing is made perfect. But now you are made perfect because Jesus Christ, who is perfect, Son of God and Son of Man, now dwells inside of you as your Lord. He saved you in order to lord you, in order to perfect you, so that he could adopt you and then marry you.
Amen.
Now again, if you don't get the tape, you'll probably lose all the things I'm saying, but I'm telling you it's the God's truth. What I just told you is the truth. And if you live by that, if you meditate on that, it'll set you free forever. And you will be emotionally happy, not just happy, but emotionally happy. Not all the time, but you can get it anytime you want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do. I'm always happy. And if for a second I wasn't, I would immediately correct it and become so because I'm free to. Because I just remember the gospel. Oh, that's right. It's not up to me. It's up to him. God, you're the one. I always blame God. If something goes wrong, you said you cared for me. You remember that? Don't forget your promise. And so I'll never put weight on myself like, you said it and I didn't do it. I never do that. I always do it the other way. And he likes it. He loves that when I do that. God, remember, it's all up to you. You're God. I'm not God. You're God. And I know I was a bad person. I confess that. Too bad. You have to forgive me. Now, God loves that. When we're able to always believe that God is so good that even when you're not good, he still is good. Did you know that God can be good even when you're not good? In other words, even though you're misbehaving, he doesn't have to misbehave. And once he swears an oath, I will never leave you or forsake you. He can't go back on that. He'd be a liar and then he wouldn't be God. Let God be true and every man a liar. So a man can lie, but God can't. And therefore, I live by that. Do you see how I have faith in God? That no matter what, he's always going to be on my side. He's always for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? So, you see, I have no fear. Did you know that perfect love casts out all fear? I don't have any fear that what I just did, because I do sin on a daily basis, but I don't have any fear that that's going to put me out. I know that I am a new creation, even though I forget that. It says in the Bible, you looked in a mirror and then you forgot what you look like. That happens to me occasionally, especially if Peggy presses my irk button. You know, it just irks me, you know. And she'll say something and, you know, it'll irk me. Oh, my gosh. You know, you do not want a camera in our home or a, you know, sound box thing to pick it up. And I know the television is one of those. But anyway, and I know they monitor everything. But nevertheless, I do say Jesus a lot to mess it up. Jesus. Oh, Lord. How do we know that you're not the judge anyway? Nobody can judge my heart. You don't know my heart. My heart's pure. My soul sometimes forgets, but I can remember right away. So I am not used to being guilt-ridden.
No.
Now, everybody else in the world is trying to reduce guilt all the time, not me. I don't have any. Christ is my righteousness, hid with God in Christ. He's hid upstairs with God in Christ. My treasure's up there. It's not down here. It's not in me. Christ is in me, but he's always reminding me by the Holy Spirit, I love you. I love you. I love you unconditionally, no matter what. He's always hugging me.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that his thoughts toward me are always thoughts of peace.
Amen.
He just sees me. Oh, Jim, I love you so much. I love it. I love that the God of heaven and earth, who has all wisdom, all power, all strength, all glory, all everything, he likes me. He calls me his friend. Do y'all see that?
Yeah.
Abraham has nothing on me, nor anyone else. I'm at the top. I'm top. Do y'all see that? For a piece of dirt to say that, that is amazing. That is amazing. But you have to be a piece of dirt to say that. And since I daily, you know, sin and fall short, it's not a problem for me to remember I'm just dirt. I don't have any pride. I do get proud, but I'm not proud of being proud. I'm humble about it, meaning I don't believe pride is anything. That is just something that God died for. It's gone. You know that when Jesus forgave you, he forgave you.
Totally.
When he forgives you, it's complete. It's complete.
Yes.
How many know when he gave you his life, you have his life?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way God looks at it. When he sees the blood, he sees Jim as pure, even though he knows I'm not. He knows what I just did, but he doesn't count it. I'm not counting that. That's like a little kid who does wrong, and you just don't count it. Or a little kid in school, you just know, I'm not going to count that. You know, God can do that. And he wants to do that. That is his favorite thing, is to forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our favorite thing, to forgive others.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I have a lot of opportunity to do that. Oh, glory. How many know that when you're an embarrassment to the rest of the world, they do sin against you, they do judge you. And then you get to forgive them, as though they hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever they intended to do, it won't work. God loves me. Jesus loves me. Ha ha. Do y'all have that? Do y'all have that? I mean, I don't care what you've done. Do not. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So I can remember those scriptures really good. I memorized all those good scriptures. I got all the ones that said, God forgiveth sinners. And even Peggy, she's beginning now to memorize some of those.
Yeah.
Peg, what's that one we've been memorizing?
Wow.
While we were yet sinners. It's good to memorize those verses first.
Yes.
Don't memorize the Moses ones. Get the Jesus ones. I like those Jesus ones. God loves sinners. Loves them. He'd even die for my sin. He pays all my debt. I don't know why. It just delights me. Do y'all see that? There's nothing wrong with that. Whenever you can't follow Jesus as Lord, the example of what you should be like, just run back to the gift. Jesus, don't forget you love me. Don't forget. Don't look upon my sin right now. Look upon the blood of Jesus. Look upon the blood of Jesus cares for me. You know. So I always remind God of that. You see how I'm cheating? I've always been a cheat. I'm cheating. I really am. Because I have heaven on earth as well as I go to heaven someday. All for what? I don't deserve any of it. It is undeserved. I absolutely am never, ever unmindful of that. I can truly say before God, I am never forgetting that. I never forget his mercy. I never forget his love for me. I never forget his word. I meditate on it day and night. It is so awesome. You know that pleases him?
Yes.
He likes it that I stand on the promises. I'm not standing on the law. Did you hear what I just said? That's the lukewarm church. Even if they say gospel grace with their mouth, I know inside of themselves, they're thinking of pressure laws on them and on others. That's why Christians judge one another. I don't judge people. I don't judge people. I don't care what you've done. It's despicable what you did. It's heinous. Nevertheless, you're beloved of God. And you have a natural dignity, value, and worth. How many criminals, Willis, did we have last night in the room? There's at least 10. 33 criminals. And then a couple of pastors. Amen. And Willis, are you a criminal now?
No.
Amen. Hey, that's powerful. How many know that you were once criminal? All of us. What? An ex-con. All right. But you know what? You're not. That is not the way God sees you. And we spoke to one of the people that just got out of prison last night, and he's going to be here, I'm sure, sometime. But we just spoke to him. You're not what you used to be. You're a new man in Christ. Not because you got out, but before you even got out, you were already a new man in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's powerful.
Okay.
So you see, we don't judge other people. Why? Because Jesus Christ already took all the judgment. How can I now forget that? I can't. Because it's so personal with me. As if there was ever a person that was wicked beyond measure. Though I was never caught for the crimes, I was never caught. I mean, that you get away with murder sometimes. I know people like that. But you know what? I was never caught. And then before I got caught, Jesus Christ met me and changed me. What a blessing. Woohoo! I was already married, and then I became a Christian afterward when the oldest daughter was born. That's when I became a Christian. It'd be interesting to see if when she was conceived, I actually became a Christian. No. When did I become a Christian, actually?
Two years later.
Right. Right. Mom always has it right. I always get it wrong. But the basic idea I've got that I did become a Christian at some point. Yeah. Anyway, however it was, it's awesome. However that happened, it was awesome. Because I did not believe at all. But for some reason, I felt bad. I never had felt bad about anyone before. But I felt bad about that little girl being born. Just talked to her yesterday. I just felt bad about her yesterday. Not yesterday. Then, that day. She's being born. I mean, I remember looking at her, and she was just born. And I was thinking, that little kid's going to like me because I'm a deceiver. She's going to like me, and then she's going to be disillusioned, and then she's going to be troubled ever after. Wonder why I brought her into the world just for that. God, if you're there, and I know you're not, but if you are there, I'm turning her over to you. It's not my child, it's yours. Now, if you care for her, I know you don't have to care for me, but if you care for her, you need to break me and kill me and get rid of me because I'm awful. Remember King David said this prayer. This is in the 10th verse of the 51st chapter of Psalms, Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart. I need a new heart. My old heart is awful. I just committed murder and adultery and every other commandment in the book that I broke. Fill me a clean heart, God. You got to. And renew a right spirit in me, which means give me a new soul too. I knew everything. If I'm governing this thing, it's going to be bad. That was King David, a man after God's own heart. And here he saw the depth of his sin and realized, I'm not worthy. I should not be a parent. I should not be a father. Should not be a father. But I turned out to be awesome. Why? Because God killed me. God killed me. And you know, that was the best thing ever happened to me. The best thing ever happened to me, I would never would have prayed for. Yeah. But it happened. I was not looking for God, not wanting God, not wanting anyone to cramp my style, which was total selfish and wicked. Amen? And God did it. And I'm so grateful now. But I tell you, I was totally passive in that deal. I was not active. I was not actively helping him. I was reading the Bible because I was a pastor. But I had read the Bible for a long time, and that didn't do any good. But I mean, you know, anyway, I read it. I had what the Latins call fides historica. I had a historical knowledge about God, and therefore everybody thought I was a Christian and a pastor. And they paid me. It's unbelievable. But I was not a Christian. And I knew I was not. I never, ever for a second thought I am a Christian. I knew I was a fake, a phony, a liar, a deceiver. Yahoo! Did you know that other ministers are too?
Oh, yeah.
There are other ministers like unto me. Nevertheless, there are also some faithful ones. And that's what's neat. After I became a Christian, I thought I'd get along with a lot of the other ministers, but I realized, there weren't that many that I thought there would be. You know, I found so many of them playing games. And I called them out. I was ruthless. You're a phony. You're a liar. I just told them right to their face, in front of everybody. You're a phony and a liar. You're skinny dipping with all your people. You're doing this, and so on and so forth. And I rifled all of them. Why would I do that? That probably was my old self coming out. No. And I actually did it because I loved him. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. That you're not walking right. You're nothing like what the Scripture says. Mm-hmm. And do you think that they liked me for that? Do you think that they thanked me very much for that? It's amazing. Now, the truth is they did. And they first swore at me for about 45 minutes. They did. And I waited till they were done swearing, and then I said, why don't you guys just ask me why I'm doing what I'm doing instead of swearing at me? Because it doesn't work. Why don't you ask me? And then they did. And then I answered. And they began to cry, some of them. Wow. Do you pray? Yes. How often? Yeah, all the time. And the guy said, I prayed once. My sister had leukemia. I'll never forget this. And she died. It's the last time I prayed. I said, I understand that. That makes total sense to me. But I'm not you. I'm not you. I was more wicked than you. I never believed in Jesus. And so on. When they heard the testimony and the story, they were all moved and said, stay with us. Even though I left the denomination. That was my last time. But they said, come back and stay with us. And that's amazing. They hated me, and then within minutes, they all thanked me for being the only one that ever brought his Bible to any of the meetings. And I would bring it and say, do you realize it says right here in Romans 1 that homosexuals are blah, 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 and so on. They hated that. And so I was stripping them away. I loved it. What a mission. What a great ministry I had there. Hello, all of us are like that. But I really didn't do it to destroy them. I did it to destroy the sin so they could be saved. And, you know, it's amazing that you really don't know what's in a man. You don't. You can't judge with, you know, surface appearance. You have to judge with right judgment. That is difficult. So that it's actually just. Remember Jesus whipped the money changers out of the temple? Would you have thought he was a good Christian? Go get him, Jesus. You know, no, the Jewish people hated him. They decided, we're going to kill him. That guy's got to die. Because he's not hitting our religion, but he is hitting our money. That's a big thing. Let's take the offering right now.
Yeah. No.
All right, listen to this. So let him have dominion. Now watch this. And let them, Radu, have dominion over the fish of the sea. You have dominion over the fish. What that's saying is, let them be my trustees. I created all these fish for their benefit. I didn't create it so they would destroy all the fish because that's their food supply. Mm-hmm. So you have to be a good steward under God. So it wasn't saying, I gave you this dominion. It's what he said. And let them have dominion. And later he said, he gave it to them. The word gave is natan, Nathan. Natan means always, I give you something in trust because you're not God at the top. You're man underneath me, and therefore I have dominion over you, and you die if you don't agree with my dominion. If you breach any of my laws, any of my rules, you die, you perish, you will not inherit. But I, who have dominion over you, see everything and I know everything. I know your heart, your soul, and your body. I know everything about you. However, I will forgive if you confess your sin and then believe on me. Wow. That's powerful. He has a right to do that. And so I did. I did. And that's amazing that God wants you to admit you're sinful and wicked apart from Him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, through me, by me, you can do all things. Wow, that's amazing. And I am that. Those two verses are me. And they should be everybody here. Everybody here should know that you can do nothing apart from Him. Well, I can add two and two. Well, I know that. But how brilliant is that? Well, what's that going to get you with respect to the things that matter? Yeah, you can make money, and you can build a bridge, and you can do a lot of awesome things. But the things that you do perish with this world. What I created you for was not so you'd make a bridge or build a house or anything else. I made you to worship me and to love the brethren, to love all mankind, even your neighbor, even your enemies. That's what I created you for, to be like me, under my dominion, being my steward, where you don't have a will of your own, you don't have a mind of your own, you don't have deeds of your own. You do what I say, and you say what I say, and you believe what I believe, and you follow what I follow. Because we were made in the image of God. Nothing else was made in the image of God. No plant, no rock, no animal. Now, I know that Darwin thinks that monkeys, you know, maybe an orangutan, if you're a redhead, or maybe a gorilla. They even have gray-haired gorillas. So that could be. Or a chimpanzee. They've often wondered, did we come from the gibbon or the chimpanzee? Because they believe nonsense, of course. God created chimpanzees different than gibbons, different than so on. So they can't mate together and come out with a chimpan or orangutan or something. They can't. And another thing I'll tell you, if you're really related to the monkeys, go get a blood transfusion when you need one. That's called cytochemistry. In cytochemistry, you would die at once. But you could get a blood transfusion from any human being as long as they had your type. Mm-hmm. But any human being, from any part of the family of man. Mm-hmm. That's different. God created it that way, and it'll always be that way. Mm-hmm. And you cannot change cytochemistry. You cannot change the chemistry. So it is. And I know how great man is these days, but with all his greatness, all I see is his tyranny. Because whenever somebody thinks they've found something, they're going to try to control it, then they're going to try to keep out you and everybody else so that you have to pay them. It's tyranny. In other words, the purpose of what you've done is there's nothing wrong with making a profit, but there is something wrong with stealing other people's liberty or their rights or their dignity or their value or their worth. Everything that we do should be for the benefit of other men who equally are made in the image of God, after his likeness. So let's look at that for a moment. After to is actually in the Hebrew language according to, not the tselem, the image of God, but he created you in the image of God according to his likeness. So let's look at that word for likeness, okay? And that's dimut, okay? Demut is an interesting word, demut, which means not like as exactly like in nature, but like as similar to God. And what's similar to God? God had dominion, you have dominion. Only your dominion is not over God, now watch this, and not over other men. You are never to have dominion over God and never over your fellow man, but over fish and over creeping things. I'm killing, you know, spiders and stuff like that all the time. It's, you see, one of those, I kill it. Now, I was asking myself the other day, do daddy long legs have eyes? I was just curious. just checking it out. But they do. But anyway, so I have dominion over them and mosquitoes. If I see a mosquito, don't slap him. I don't like them. And we have something, it eats me in the bed. I don't know what it is. It's a bed bug or something or other. I told Peg to vacuum those things out or spray something or do something. Something's biting on me. I don't know what bites you, but whatever it is, it's making red things on me. And I don't like it. I'm now not sleeping in the bed Peg's sleeping in. Sleeping in another one. I don't want those things, whatever they are. Amen? But if I would see one, of course, they're so small, I don't know if you can see them. See, they, but I think they move around. So whatever they are, I have dominion over them. Telling Jesus, you and I need to line up on this one, Jesus. I'm your beloved. Don't forget that. These little things here, you're letting them bite me. So God has given me dominion over them, meaning under him. Not dominion, but dominion over him. But I have dominion over fish and cattle, mammals, and over creeping things, little insects and stuff. I have dominion over them. So man is not doing wrong to have dominion over them. Just don't destroy them, except mosquitoes. Don't destroy them. And ticks. So there are certain things I don't like. So, even though I'm organic, I will go, chemical on some of those things. Especially in the house. If you come in this house, you're getting chemical. Peggy will run out of the house, but I'm spraying those things. I don't like cockroaches either. No. I'm taking dominion over them. How many know this is a good sermon?
Amen.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a great sermon.
Yes.
It's awesome. Yes. Inspired by God.
Yes.
But where is your place in the order of creation with God? God, man, then animals, plants, rocks, and soil, and all that stuff. They're all the same. So those things that are either biological or not, they're under our dominion. And God says that, but what we want to do is enslave people. Instead of working with the animals, we want to enslave people and make them work for us. But God never gave dominion to us to do that. He gave us dominion to serve them, to serve all mankind. So, I don't distinguish the different kinds of people that are out there, criminals, mafia, bad people, corrupt politicians. I don't distinguish them. They're people. Mm-hmm. And even though they have those things, it's still my job to serve. Mm-hmm. Now, that means I won't take away their dignity. I might take away their liberty. Because the Texas Constitution says that civil and religious tyranny must not enter into our system of justice. Mm. So therefore, knowing that, I'm not forcing someone else. Knowing that, I won't allow that. And I'll defend against that. I want civil and religious liberty established in Texas.
Amen.
This is where I live. This is where I want it. And therefore, I'll die over that, physically. I'll die fighting for that. Because I hate injustice under God. I hate injustice that's God says that's not good. So tyranny, and you're going to be surprised at my definition. Tyranny is wherever the rights that God gave you, natural, God-given, unalienable or inalienable, those rights which God gave to you are core to our life, liberty, property, and pursuit of happiness in all three areas. You can't touch those because God says not to. Well, and the people that God made said not to. Well, and then the Constitution that the people made, that God made, said not to. Therefore, I don't think we should put up with that. So I don't. I will never take a bribe. This is how you do it. You take a bribe. In other words, some lobbyist or someone comes along and argues in such a way that a special interest should prevail over the general interest. Oh, I don't accept that. So I don't like laws that allow special interests, whether they're for the poor or for the rich or for the middle. I don't care where they're for. A law should always be equal, beneficial to everybody. I mean, it should be made in such a way that nobody is injured by it. And everyone is benefited by it, even if indirectly. Mm-hmm. So laws can be for people with interests, but they can't be at the injury or expense of another man's liberty, freedom, or right, or dignity, or value, or worth. And so therefore, what God wants, and it's part of my stewardship, as he has civil laws too. And therefore, as a trustee of that civil law, I want to be a good citizen myself, but I also want to make sure other people are good citizens too. So I'll never take a bribe. And here's what makes a tyrant. A tyrant, whenever the church has a secular duty and whenever the state has a religious duty, that's tyranny. Now I'm going to say it again because the whole history of mankind is built on this. That states have adopted then religion as the engine of their state purpose, so that the religion is not allowed to be free. So it's a sacred state with the Pharaoh as the high priest as well as the supreme governor. Or King Henry VIII, who is head of the state and head of the church. Or Queen Elizabeth or anyone else. Santa Ana. And therefore we fight against that. But my worst problem is not what the state does that's wrong, but that the church would agree to that. When the church is to be married to Jesus, the one above who sent down his son, and should not be a secular church, but a spiritual church. And our weapons are not carnal. Therefore, I don't want the church, and that, by the way, will prevent the state. You can persecute me all day long. I don't care about that. But I'm not going to submit ever to a secular command for the church. For me individually, yes. I'll pay my taxes, even if they're unfair. I'll pay them. Not a problem. But I'm not going to allow the church ever to come under another god, but only to follow Caesar. Never. Only to follow God. You know why? Because the church is defined this way by God, that you render everything to God. So if a penny comes in the church, I render it to God. It's not mine. I'm a steward. A steward doesn't own anything. That's a servant in the house. But I am a son. And in the church then, I am a servant of you so that you can be sons of God. So my purpose is not to make you servants, but to make you sons. Did you know the son then can do everything the father wants for free? For free. Now when he's a child, he's no different than a servant. But when he's mature, then he voluntarily does what he does. Let's say you didn't pay me today. I'd still want to do what I do. I'm not working for pay. I don't care about the pay. I don't. My God shall supply, not the congregation shall supply. Did you hear what I just said? So if I was bankrupt and broke, I wouldn't tell you. If the church ran out, I wouldn't say anything. Because I never put weight on the bride, on the woman, on the church. Because the weight should all go to the one who's the head. If you'd be the great in the kingdom of God, you must be the servant and the slave of all. So that's my job. And I start with Peggy. I tell you, she knows how to press that irk button. But I'm still her slave. And she reminds me of it, and I've taught her how to do it. You know, if you ever see me in any way being abusive or tyrannical or out of order or whatever, you just point that out. Just say it. And don't say it in a fancy way. Just say it. Jim, you're sinning right now. I like it just straight. Don't forget, Jesus doesn't like that. I want you to bless me. Looks like you're getting the blessing and me the burden. You know, I've taught her how to say all those things. And so it's great. It's great. She's learning. In fact, she's so good at learning that. She's got me busy all the time. Just serving completely, totally. How many are blessed that you're not a rock? Amen. You are not a plant. Yes. You are not an animal. You have dominion over those. Yes. This is your earth. Did you know that the heavens belong to God, but the earth belongs to man? In other words, as a servant of the living God, as a trustee of this creation. So we are servants not just for ourselves, loving one another, but for the world. We're to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We're to be the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world because I dwell in you. And therefore, since I dwell in you, the Father through the Son, through the Spirit, in Jim, in you, in us. That is the freedom that we were given. You may freely eat of all the trees, but Just don't eat that one tree. So it's just that one tree. Don't ever try to figure out what good and evil is. Ask me. Well, I have the Holy Spirit now inside of me, always speaking to me. That's why I read the Bible so much. Hours and hours and hours. In fact, today I was late because I was still, you know, studying the Word. And, you know, in the Hebrew language and stuff, I'm just really into it. And so I got all my books spread out, you know, just learning, parsing every verb and, you know, every construction and so on and so forth. And Peg said, "Do you know what time it is?" "No. It's 8:15. What? 8:15. Well, whatever it was, I was late. I mean, you have to leave at 8. So I said, uh-oh. And then she came in a few minutes later, and I'm still working. I was finishing up my, you know, what I was doing. "Jim, now it's 8:30, you know, whatever. I know. Don't jump on me. Go do your thing. Get ready. And, you know, I was still in my pajamas and so on. It's like, "Jim, don't, Peg, don't. You're slowing me down here." Oh, God. God is funny. How many of you know that we are wicked people? Yes. It's all right. God loves wicked people. Did you know that God loves sinners?
Yes.
Amen. And I reminded myself of that the whole way here.
Yes. He loves me.
Sorry I was late. All right, God is good. Some of you are late too. Ha, thank you. Praise God. I'm among late people. God is good. God is great. What is your place in the order of creation? Right under God. You are the pinnacle of creation because you are the ones, the only ones in the whole earth that is not to be subject to death, but to life. And now you've been given that through Jesus Christ. You lost it under the law, but you got it back under the gospel. Good news. Is anybody blessed today?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, God is good. God is great. Does anyone want to testify? This was really powerful.